Now, the rest of the story. It was back in the spring of 35 that Pop Sherman strode into the old saloon. The barkeep told Pop to name his poison. Pop said he'd come to meet Clary Mulford, otherwise known as the Freiburg Kid. And just as Pop spit the last word, the saloon door swung wide in swaggered Mulford, dressed in the derndest get-up you ever laid eyes on. Pop said, pull up a chair. The two men sat down. Bridling his astonishment, Pop said, you know why we're here. And Mulford knew why they were there. That is the rest of the story. For Harry Sherman, whose friends called him Pop, was no cowboy. He was a city boy, come all the way from Hollywood, lured by the opportunity to meet the one and only Freiburg Kid and to strike a deal. Pop Sherman was in the movie business, worked for Paramount Studios, had already made his share of Western movies, The Light of Western Stars, The Stories of Zane Grey. But the tale that Pop really wanted to tell on the screen was a Western yarn spun by Clary Mulford many years previous, one of the many Wild West classics that had made Mulford the foremost Western author of his time. So here's Pop Sherman, sitting across the saloon table from that very man, preparing to purchase for Paramount Pictures one of those fabulous stories about Mulford's fictional cowboy hero, Bill Cassidy. Hop along, Cassidy. Sherman told Mulford he had no money to offer him right now, but the studio would finance the picture. What say if Mulford would settle for a flat 5% of the gross profits? The Freiburg Kid grinned. Popular as were his stories in print, he was more convinced than anybody of their potential in the movie house, so he said it's a deal, and the men drank on it. Matter of fact, they drank on it quite a bit. In fact, both were a little bleary by the time Pop suggested they get it in writing, but there was no paper in the saloon on which to prepare a suitable contract, so Mulford got some toilet tissue, and Pop drew up the agreement on that toilet tissue, and the men signed it, and the deal was done. Maybe you can imagine Pop's dismay when he returned to Hollywood to realize that he'd accidentally blown his nose on the Mulford contract. Anyway, the kid's word beat fine print all hollow, and the agreement held up through a pleasant and profitable professional relationship, which produced the cowboy screen hero, Bill Cassidy, whose nickname the world remembers as Hopalong, Hopalong Cassidy. But this is why Pop Sherman was so amazed when he first met the creator of Hopalong Cassidy. He, Clarence Mulford, was dressed not in Western wear, but in dandy's clothing, plus fours and a stylish cap. You see, the saloon in which they met was in Brooklyn, New York. Mulford himself, born in Streeter, Illinois, made his home in Freiburg, Maine, created the wealth of Western literature for which he was famous from information about the West, which he derived from the public library. That's right. Clarence Mulford was a basically lonely man who lived mostly in his mind, a quiet, reclusive fellow who had left a civil service job to write and to create one of the biggest Western heroes of all time, Hopalong Cassidy, even though he, author Clarence Mulford, was a lifelong Easterner. He'd been writing Western fiction for 17 years without ever having actually visited the American West. And now you know the rest of the story.